This podcast contains content that may be disturbing to some listeners. Check the episode description for more details and resources. And please, take care of yourself.
You don't want to see it? I brought the letter just in case. Printed.
Not unless you want me to. I'd be happy to look at it.
I shrugged. In truth, I'd been a lot more honest than I thought I'd be in my letter. And I didn't know if I was ready to share that with Rosa in our second session. Even if she already knew the whole mental health history. Maybe another time.
That's fine. Anything on your mind today?
My cousin messaged me.
How are you related to this cousin?
They're my father's sister's kid. I haven't spoken to them in a long time. Apparently, my father is trying to get in touch with me.
And he asked this cousin to contact you?
I have him blocked. I haven't spoken to him since I was 15.
And how do you feel about this?
That's such a therapist question.
Well, good thing that's my job then.
I don't really know. Avery, that's my cousin. Avery and I used to be super close when we were kids, but I guess I don't really know them anymore. We exchange happy birthdays and stuff like that sometimes.
Are you thinking about responding?
That's a definite no.
Have you talked to anyone else about this?
Just Zora and my brother know they reached out. My mom and I have a complicated relationship.
Oh.
We actually hadn't spoken for, 2 years before the psych hospital. 2 years and a few months, we had a really big fight.
Do you mind telling me what it was about?
Marina, mostly. My daughter. We adopted her about 3 years ago now, and Kate just wasn't very supportive.
I assume she did something other than not be very supportive if you didn't talk to her for over 2 years.
She asked if it was too late to return her. To return Marina. Because Kate thought I wouldn't be a good mom.
That's harsh.
Yeah. She called Erin crying when she found out I'd been taken back to the psych hospital. Since, you know, I was admitted once before as a teenager. He told me and I told him he could bring her.
So things have been a little tense.
That's one way to put it.
Have you seen her since you left?
No. She keeps asking me to.
But you're not ready.
She's a lot. I guess I'm still trying to get in a good headspace for me. I don't really think Kate makes for good headspace.
It's really good, actually. You can't let her needs above your own.
She smiled at me, and I couldn't help it. I smiled back.
Uncle Erin is here!
You could open the door.
Marina sprinted off to greet my brother. We could hear her giggling from where we stood, and a moment later, Erin appeared.
Everyone's favorite uncle brought dessert.
Thanks, Uncle Erin.
I went in for a hug. We broke apart, and Erin said,
"You look good, sis."
"Why, thank you. Maybe you should try 8 months in a psych hospital."
"I do think it would do wonders for my skin."
"Marina, help me set the table."
"Let me look at this cake."
I grabbed Erin's arm and steered him toward the dessert he'd brought from the bakery down the street. Not that I minded setting the table or anything, but I still remember the look Zora gave me when I offered to do it last week after I picked up the knives. I love Aaron, but I swear I thought he was never going to leave. Marina didn't seem to want him to, and he was perfectly happy chatting on and on about our stupid childhood antics. The time I cut his hair and Kate walked in on her daughter with scissors in her hand, standing over her nearly bald son. The time we were playing hide-and-go-seek and I hid in the laundry chute. When I told Marina it was almost time for bed, she gave me an odd look and continued talking with my brother like I hadn't spoken. Finally, after she had practically fallen asleep at the table, Zora carried her off to bed. And Aaron grinned at me, food sleepy.
I love how much Zora loves you.
I love that too.
One day, I'll have a Zora. Well, not a Zora, exactly, because your Zora is a lesbian, and yours.
Well, I wish you the best of luck in your search for a non-lesbian Zora. What about Lily?
Nothing is happening between me and Lily.
Yeah, sure.
Lily owned the bar that Aaron and his musician friends frequently played at in Manhattan. Last I'd heard, she was getting a divorce. I never met Lily, but I knew from Aaron that she had pink hair and a moon tattoo on her neck. She was Chinese, and her parents were immigrants, and she was a twin. Basically, I knew way too much about this woman for my brother to not like her a little bit.
I went on a couple dates with someone recently. It went really, really well until I had to remind her that, you know, I'm trans. I guess she didn't read it in the profile. I know the right person won't care about any of that bullshit, but it still kind of sucked, you know?
I'm sorry. Really.
It bothers me. But then I try to remember that you still love me, and Marina pretty much worships the ground I walk on.
Not pretty much. She absolutely worships the ground you walk on.
Exactly. And even Mom tries. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad you're doing okay. I mean, I know it still hurts and you're not, you know, perfect, but I can tell you're doing better. It's a little scary when you're not.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, you were sick, Sade. You don't get to be sorry. You don't need to apologize.
Yeah.
Zora walked back into the room and gestured to the dishes.
I'll put these away. You did last night.
I can still help. I'm not the one working a full-time job.
Aren't you supposed to be writing?
Yes, ma'am.
I guess that's my cue to leave. I'll be back soon.
He hugged us both and left. As soon as he was out the door, Zora turned to me.
Now you. Right.
Nothing. I stared at the screen and tapped gently on the keys inside. Should I just start? I felt like I wanted to kill myself. Backspace. Fuck that. I went to the ocean wanting to die. Ugh, no, not that either. Finally, I typed. The moss between your toes is smoother than you thought it would be, and somewhat sticky. It creates a barrier between your soft skin and the rough rocks, though you suppose it doesn't matter if you cut your foot on a particularly jagged edge. Tonight, you plan to die, and soon, none of it will matter at all. Yes, that felt right. You've come to the ocean for your final resting place. You've been coming here for years, first with your mom and brother, and later with Zora and Marina. On a more practical note, you don't want your wife or daughter to find you bleeding out in the bathtub or hanging by a rope in the closet, especially your daughter. The water settles briefly against your calves before it rises up again, hovering around your knees. It is colder than expected in September, and a welcome reprieve from the repressive air. Perhaps the result of climate change somehow? You don't plan on ever finding out. You lift your arms above your head and take another several steps until you're no longer on the rocks and now stepping on soft sand. In the pocket of your denim shorts, your phone must be short-circuiting. The first of the two of you to drown. Another step and you lower your hands into the water. The ocean licks a paper cut on the side of your left hand. You hiss and nearly pull it back when you remember that all of you will have to be submerged eventually. A wave comes on to the next step just as you stumble off a sandbar. It soaks the bottom half of your white blouse and the tips of your dark hair. You take a final step, then dive. The sounds of the city are never so obvious as when they disappear so suddenly. The rattle of the Q train on the elevated subway tracks, the shouts of cross-faded teens and their top 50 pop music further down the beach, and the smells of hot dog stands and car exhaust. Just gone. The absence of all of your senses weighs down on you with the water until you break the surface, gasping for air. It is a shame you can't do it here. But even you who never cared for biology knows your body would rebel. Your lungs would scream for oxygen and your traitor legs would kick up. First, you must exhaust yourself. You don't remember the first time you went to the beach. Your mother must have brought you when you were just an infant. And you know there are pictures of you and Aaron when you must have been 2 or 3. Aaron, hardly older than a fetus. It has always just existed for you. When you tried yoga that one time in college, you used the ocean as your happy place. For as long as you can, you use a breaststroke. It will get you the furthest from the shore and possibly unwelcome salvation. It feels like too soon and still not soon enough when your lungs begin to beg for a break. They don't know that they're about to be pushed to their absolute limits. Once you can't swim anymore, you slip your head under the water. The shoreline vanishes behind you, and the lone boat on the horizon disappears ahead, replaced by murky darkness. You take a deep breath of sea. Your lungs spasm and your heart thuds in your chest, as though it's working to free itself from its ribcage prison. Your legs don't betray you, but your arms do. They scramble for the surface at first until you force them to your sides. The painful thudding in your chest slows, and your lungs accept their share of the seawater. You hope you don't blow too much before someone finds you, for your family's sake. Your limbs grow heavy, and your ears begin to pop as you sink, but they sound far away. They feel far away, too. Is that possible? The last thing you are aware of, the last sense that is lost to you, is your vision. The water is dark around you, blotting out the stars and the sky, the bright white lights of your own form as you shut your eyes. Your vision clouds and the small circles appear. They are dandelion-like. Little puffs exploding behind your eyelids. They are fireworks. A celebration. I shut my laptop as Zora walked into the bedroom.
How's it going?
I mean, I wrote. That's good, I guess.
I'm proud of you, Sadie.
Thank you. I placed a gentle kiss on her mouth, and she opened hers.
Sadie.
Let me love you. I felt her nod and kissed her again, deeper this time, and she kissed me back. We fumbled like teenagers for each other's clothes and stumbled onto the bed. For the first time in perhaps a year, I made love to my wife. When we were done, and when we lay on our sides of the bed, tangled up in each other, I wiped the tears off her cheeks.
I love you. I was so scared.
I won't leave.